Hello and welcome to the Ghosts and Folklore podcast. I'm Mark Rees, and on each episode, I investigate a different, weird, and wonderful subject. And on this episode, we are going to get cosmic. We are going to explore the Welsh folklore of the heavens above, the stars in the night sky, where tales of good versus evil can be found, tales of witches and giants and heroes and knights, mythology from the Mabinogion and King Arthur. It's all up there in the constellations above, if you know where to look. Which is quite a big subject to squeeze into this podcast, so that's enough build-up, let's dive straight in. And to begin at the beginning, which in this case is folklore recorded in the early 1900s, when it was written down that signs and symbols of earthly beings are mingled in the folklore of Wales with the stars, and the names of many distinguished heroes, heroines, and giants are to be found connected with the silent and pathless heavens. So, right at the start, we are being told that the names of many great people in Welsh history, in mythology, in folklore, be they fictional or otherwise, can be found in the heavens, in the stars, in the celestial bodies above. When you look up at the night sky and see something sparkling, it has probably been named after a great Welsh hero or figure. For example, the Milky Way is known to the Welsh as Caer Gwydion, C-A-E-R, Gwydion, G-W-Y-D-I-O-N, Caer Gwydion, or Gwydion's Circle. Now, that's not a direct translation. Caer Gwydion means Gwydion's Fort, but for whatever reason, the English version is Gwydion's Circle. And so, if you're lucky enough to be named Gwydion, I don't know if there's many Gwydions listening, but if you're lucky enough to be named Gwydion, you share your name with the Milky Way, which isn't a bad thing in the night sky to be named after. Now, I'm going to whiz through a few more examples for you, and I won't dwell on these because, frankly, me reading out a list of names is quite boring, so let's make this quick and short and painless so we're not here all day. But what I will say quickly before I read out these names is that if you are a fan of Welsh mythology, of things like the Mabinogion, of legends, especially the Arthurian legends, and maybe if you're a practicing pagan, especially a Wiccan, some of the names mentioned in this list of names might be familiar. They might make your ears prick up when you hear them, so listen carefully as we fly through the names. And so, the Northern Crown, a small constellation, maybe better known as Corona Borealis today, but the Northern Crown is known as the Circle of Arianrhod. And straight away, we've got a character from the Mabinogion popping up. The Lyre is Arthur's harp, and in all of these examples, we can assume that Arthur is King Arthur. The Lyre is Arthur's harp. The Great Bear in the sky is known as Arthur's ploughtail. Orion is Arthur's yard, so Orion, the constellation, is not named after that Greek chap, rather it's named after good old King Arthur, or Arthur the warrior, or whatever we assume Arthur to be. But Orion is Arthur's yard, and Pleiades is the group of Theodosius, and Cassiopeia's chair is the circle of Don. Don, an important name which I have mentioned before on the podcast, and which I will mention again later on. The ecliptic is the circle of Cydi, and the twins is the large horned oxen. And so ends that list of names of things to look out for in the starry sky. But if you enjoyed that as much as I enjoyed trying to pronounce some of those words, then I've got some good news, because we also have some lesser objects to run through very, very, very quickly. And I'm going to do this in less than a minute in the style of a Gilbert and Sullivan patter song. It'll just be one long tongue twister. And so, these are the lesser objects Welsh folklore tells us to look out for in the night sky. And deep breath. The smaller plough handle, the great ship, the bald ship, the Triangle, the Grove of Blood Enwedd, which I think might be Blood Iwedd, the Chair of Tyrannon, the Chair of Aethonydd, the Conjunction of 100 Circles, the Camp of Elmer, the Soldier's Bow, the Hill of Dinan, the Eagle's Nest, Blythed's Lever, the Wind's Wing, the Travoil, the Cauldron of Ceridwen, a very important name, Ceridwen, she will also crop up again later, the Bend of Tyvi, the Great Limb, the Small Limb, the Great Plain, the White Fork, the Woodland Boar, the Muscle, the Hawk, the Horse of Llyr, Elvin's Chair, and Olwen's Hall. And that, you'll be glad to know, is the last list of names on this episode, and there will be a test at the end to make sure you were paying close attention there. But moving on to taking a closer look at some of these constellations that have been mentioned and the folklore connected to them. And the Milky Way, we are told, to give it its English name, the Milky Way was supposed to be peopled by the souls of heroes, kings, princes, and all the just and honourable persons who thronged to the circle of Gwydion. And the brighter the stars in this part of the heavens, the more exalted the character whose soul had entered the charmed circle. Which is a very romantic idea that back in the day, back before light pollution came along, when you could look up at the night skies and each star that you saw represented the soul of an exalted person. And the brighter the star, the more exalted the soul. It was like their soul was powering the star. Or maybe they are powering the stars when you look up. And the name Gwydion has popped up a few times already so far on this episode. And if you are wondering, well, who the heck is Gwydion to have the Milky Way named after them? Well, folklore tells us that Gwydion of the Milky Way has been identified with Hermes, and we are back to the Greek names again there. That's the Olympic Herald of the Gods, not the delivery service people. But Gwydion has been identified with Hermes, and yet he appears similar in many respects to Wodan of Norse fame, and that's Wodan spelt with a D, W-O-D-A-N, of Norse fame, who is also known as Odin, which of course does have a tenuous Welsh link there, because in the Marvel universe, on the screen at least, Odin is played by Sir Anthony Hopkins from my hometown of Port Talbot. But he's also known as Wodan, and being the man of many names, that is also spelt Wotan, W-O-T-A-N, the Germanic chief god. And as regular listeners will know, I am indeed a big opera fan, and Wotan is the main man when it comes to Germanic gods, and is the main man in Richard Wagner's Ring cycle of operas. But never mind the opera, getting back to Gwydion. And as we've seen, Gwydion is seen as the Welsh equivalent of Hermes, as well as sharing some similarities with Wodan or Odin or Wotan or whatever you want to call him. And he was also the son of Don. Now, this is more important from a Welsh point of view, the son of Don. And Don is a name I've mentioned before many, many, many episodes ago. And Don is interesting because Don is the Welsh word for wave. And in the Mabinogion, that hugely important collection of British prose tales, in the Mabinogion, Gwydion's sister is Arianrhod, who also has a celestial circle named after her, which you will already know because she was in that list of names, that never-ending list of names earlier, and I'm sure you're paying close attention to it. And she magically gives birth to two sons, the second of which is called Dylan Isle Don. And why, I can hear you asking, is this important? Well, in the early 20th century, in the city of Swansea, back when it was Swansea Town, a teacher called David John Thomas is believed to have watched an opera based on the tales of the Mabinogion. He watched it in the year 1914. Now, 1914 is the same year that his wife, Florence Hannah Thomas, gave birth to their first son on the 27th of October, and he named the child after a character in that opera, after a character in that Mabinogion opera. And his child, his son, became the first known person, the first known real person, the first baby in the real world to be named after this particular character in the Mabinogion. And his name was Dylan Thomas. The poet Dylan Thomas, who did not go gentle into that good night. And everyone since named Dylan is thought to have derived their name from this boy born in Swansea in 1914, whose name was inspired by tales in the Mabinogion, which takes us all the way back to Gwydion in the Milky Way. And so that was a very long-winded way of saying, yes, these names are important, because while they might be folklore, while it might be based on myths and legends, and while it might be very old news, nevertheless, there are people being born today, not just in Wales, around the world, using these names, which, according to folklore at least, are connected to the heavens above. Anyway, that's enough Dylan Thomas. Let's get back to the folklore, and let's get back to Gwydion himself, who has quite a few big claims to fame. Because Gwydion, besides being the son of Don, whose nephew inspired the name of Dylan Thomas, Gwydion, we are told, invented writing. Again, quite appropriate when we're looking at someone like Dylan Thomas, who is arguably the most famous writer to ever come out of Wales. But Gwydion invented writing, and on top of that, he practiced magical arts as a renowned magician or wizard, and was the builder of the rainbow. Again, that's quite a big claim to fame. He was the builder of the rainbow. His caer, or fort, C-A-E-R again, caer or fort, was by his magical power transported from earth to heaven, and the great pathway leading to and from it is known to the English as the Milky Way. So the Milky Way isn't his fort, rather it is the pathway to his fort, and he built a rainbow, he invented the rainbow to lead the way there, which I imagine in my mind is a bit like Rainbow Road in Mario Kart, the computer game, but you know, with less Italian plumbers and bananas about the place. It's much more celestial and very, very Wagner again, actually, but I won't go down the opera route. And Gwydion, we are told, also has his own gang of gods, as it were, his own posse of gods. And to quote Gwydion, the most intellectual of the Welsh heroes is described as being able, by means of his magic wand or rod, to be always surrounded by a glorious host whose deeds of chivalry and daring entitle them to places in the great Caer, the great fort of the heavens. So that pretty much ties everything up nice and neatly, really. What I was saying earlier about the brighter the star, the greater the hero, and it's telling us that Gwydion is always surrounded by these great exalted people. And so when you look up, you can see that that is Gwydion's gang of gods and important people up there. Now, turning our attention to King Arthur, or more specifically, Arthur's ploughtail, as mentioned earlier. And folklore tells us that a farmer living in the Vale of Glamorgan, and this is back in the early 1900s, a farmer living in the Vale of Glamorgan said his grandfather always declared that when the tail of the plough was low down, bread would be cheap, but when the tail was high, bread would be dear. So, if you keep a close eye on the skies, you could save yourself a few pounds, or dollars, or euros, or whatever currency you use in whatever part of the world you are tuning in from. But it just goes to show that for all the exalted reasons for the stars in the sky, these souls, these heroes burning brightly, they can, more importantly, help us get some cheap groceries. Now, moving on to another mighty character who hasn't got a constellation named after them, but has very strong connections with the sun. Not a bad object in the sky to be connected with, arguably the best object in our solar system, at least anyway. But to quote, in the mythology of Wales, Hi Gadarn, and that's Hi, H-U, Gadarn is G-A-D-A-R-N, or He the Mighty in English, who, to quote, the primitive leader, hero, and lawgiver of the ancient Britons, was deified when earthly honours were exhausted. So when people had exhausted, they'd run out of ways of praising him on earth, they had to look upwards to find other ways to praise him. And he is described as inhabiting the sun. And his symbols were a wren with outspread wings and an ox. So they ran out of ways of praising him. He was elevated to inhabiting the sun. And in a symbolic way, it could be seen as him giving them life each day. He would raise, start the day off, and give them life. In a similar way to, say, Louis XIV, the French king, who in this case declared himself the sun god. That was his divine authority. In this case, other people are giving this authority to him, to He the Mighty. Although it should be said, He the mighty as he was, it is his wife who is best remembered nowadays, and it is his wife who is worshipped by many, many people around the world today, and I am sure there are many people listening to this very podcast who will know exactly what I mean when I mention the name. And to quote, although before I quote, I should point out that what I'm about to read does contradict previous episodes of this podcast. It contradicts quite a well-established part of Welsh folk tales, Welsh folklore. But I'll read this to you first, and then we'll try to unpack it afterwards. And to quote, his spouse, He the Mighty spouse, was elevated to the rank of goddess and appears under the name of Ceridwen or Ceriadwen. Two different spellings there of the name. Most people nowadays would say is Ceridwen, Ceridwen. Now, Ceridwen is one of the most famous characters, if not the most famous characters, in Welsh mythology. She appears in the tale of Taliesin. She is often described as a witch or an enchantress, and is now a popular figure in modern-day Wicca and paganism, of course. But anyone who knows anything about Ceridwen will know that her husband was Tegid Voile. Tegid Voile, who lends his name to Llyn Tegid, the lake in Bala. Are they all just the same people with different names? Or is there more than one version of these people out there? What's going on? Well, I hate to do this. I haven't had to do it for a while. But trying to unpack Ceridwen's entire origin is much bigger than the scope of this one episode. So it's something I will try to return to sooner rather than later. But for the purposes of this episode, Ceridwen is married to He the Mighty and has been elevated to goddess status. And to return to the quote, her symbols, I mentioned He's symbols earlier, her symbols were a boat and a cow. And while her husband received the homage due to the sun, Ceridwen received that due to the moon. So, to put that into more plain English, when people worshipped the sun, they worshipped He. But when they worshipped the moon, they worshipped Ceridwen. If things weren't confusing enough already, they're about to get more confusing because there are even more divine beings up there in the sky. And to continue, the subordinate deities were the three bull demons of Britain, which I think would make a great name for a band, the three bull demons of Britain. But the three bull demons of Britain, these deities up in the sky, their names were Ellyll Gwyadol, or the Demon of the Whirling Stream, which, to be honest, is another great name for a band, isn't it? The first was known as the Demon of the Whirling Stream. Then there was Llyr Mirini, or the Demon of the Flowing Sea, and the Ellyll Gwrthmwl Wledig, or the Demon of the Earth. And long-term listeners with very good memories, better memories than mine, because I've forgotten exactly when and where I spoke about these things, but long-term listeners might notice that some of the words used there, some of the Welsh language words that were translated, have cropped up before. Words like Ellyll, which we think of, or I discuss now, as the Welsh word for elf, for the elves, but many of these words have become interchangeable with other supernatural creatures over time. And in this case, Ethlil is being used for demons, which, let's be honest, are far more scarier than elves. But back to the sun and the moon and all of that. And we are told that the sun was personified under various names. He was, and notice how the sun is referred to in the masculine here, but he was Arthur the Controller. And I don't think I need to explain the importance of Arthur. Here's some bloke who became a king or something. But the sun was personified under various names, one of which was Arthur the Controller. Also, Taliesin the Lightgiver. Taliesin, the great Welsh poet who had a big fight with Ceridwen the Witch, as she is in that tale. She is, of course, a goddess in this episode. Let's not open that can of worms again. And then there's Merthyn, the hero of the sea, Morgan, when risen from the sea barge of Ceridwen, and Dovith as the conqueror of Black Wings or Satan, known to the ancient Britons as Avagddi, if I'm pronouncing that correctly, but Avagddi was this ancient British name for Satan, or Satan-like character, and that name is derived from Vagddi, which is Y-Ur, and then Vagddi, F-A-G-D-D-U, or Th-U, which means utter darkness, which is a great name for a Satan like character, utter darkness. Now, I know I promised there'd be no more lists of names, and that was quite a list, but the only really important one there, as far as we're concerned for this episode, is that last one, this Satan-like character with black wings, because he's about to play an important part in the tale of Ceridwen, because it is another personification of the sun. It is in the sun, and in this sense, this seemingly fearsome entity is not using the power of the sun for good. It is in opposition to the moon, which is the personification of Ceridwen. And so far from being some evil witch-type figure, as she became portrayed, Ceridwen did at one point become almost like a pantomime witch, but certainly if we go back to the good old days, she was a force for good, just like she is again nowadays. And back then, when she was personified by the moon, she was a protective goddess, and she could cool the flames of the sun. And I mentioned symbolism earlier, but there is some very interesting symbolism, some quite obvious symbolism going on again here in this opposition between the sun and the moon. The sun, this icon of giving life to people, is actually portrayed as a scary, terrifying thing that can burn you up, whereas the moon, which is of course associated with the night and as such with the darker side of life, well, in this case, it is the moon, it is the goddess that is bringing calm and balance to things. It is the sun doing all the damage, and we need the moon to keep it in check. And as somebody who is recording this episode during a heatwave, well, it's a heatwave here in the UK right now, and as someone who's always been a bit of a pasty goth anyway in the sun, I've always been much, much happier at nighttime. And if this heat continues much longer, I'll be doing everything I can to pull a few favours with Ceridwen. Yes, I'm one of those miserable people in the summer who sits around wishing it was autumn. But anyway, back to it. And Ceridwen, back to the power of the night, which isn't some soft rock ballad from the 80s, but rather is the power of Ceridwen. And Ceridwen also has a barge, which I've mentioned throughout this episode in these lists of names. But to quote, the barge of Ceridwen, barge B-A-R-G-E, as in boat barge, the barge of Ceridwen is known as the Llong Focl, Llong double L-O-N-G, Llong Focl F-O-C-L, which is a mock ship. And the crescent moon was regarded as its emblem in the sky. Again, going back to iconography and symbolism, I don't think it takes too much imagination to see how that crescent moon can appear as the hull of a ship. And in Welsh, the crescent moon is called Llun, double L-U-N, Llun. And to quote, Monday, the first day of the week, Monday, or the second day of the week after Sunday, but first working day of the week, you know what I mean, Monday, the day Monday. Monday derives its name from moon day. Moon day. And in the Welsh language, Monday is Dydd Llun. Now, Dydd simply means day, but Llun, as we now know, refers to the moon, to the crescent moon, to the barge of Ceridwen. And once again, you can see how this all comes together. It might sound like I'm talking absolute rubbish at times, but bear with me, this does all tie in at some point. Now, when I mention the name Caridwen, I should point out that in these quotes, she is actually referred to as Cariadwen, and while it does say that the two are sort of conflated as the same person, as slight spelling changes on it, Cariadwen does have slightly different connotations to it, because the word Cariad is the Welsh word for love, and it's also been used for names and things nowadays as well. But Cariad is love, Wen is used for white or pure. And so the name Cariadwen, to a Welsh speaker at least, would have positive connotations. You don't think of a pantomime witch, you think of pure love, as the name suggests. But to return to the quote, and Cariadwen, the queen of the heavens, is supposed to protect the sacred barge or boat from the fury of the Black Wings. So when the Black Wings, or Satan, or whatever you want to call this thing in the sun, tries to burn the moon, which is the barge of Cariadwen, I hope you're all following this. There'll be a test on this as well at the end. But when the moon, when Black Wings or Satan in the sun is trying to burn the moon, it is protected by Caridwen or Cariadwen. And according to the Druids, just in case this wasn't convoluted enough, I'm about to drag the Druids into it as well. But according to the Druids, although I should stress this is according to folklore about the Druids, so it probably isn't historically accurate. But when has that ever stopped me before? Don't let history get in the way of good folklore. But according to the ancient Druids, or according to folklore and what folklore tells us about the ancient Druids, the sun, which in this case is also the Satan-like creature, so the sun or Satan, didn't always get it their own way. And they, to quote, asserted that the personified sun, the Druids asserted that the personified sun was mortally wounded at noon on the shortest day of the year, which is the winter solstice in December, and all through the afternoon the sun struggled to live. But at sunset he perished and fell into the water beyond the horizon. Then the divine soul of the sun escaped into the barge of Cariadwen, while Black Wings or Satan usurped the authority over the heavens and the earth. After that, the sun was born again and arose in all his glory in the morning. So I hope you followed that and that all made sense to you. But basically, on the winter solstice, Satan, Black Wings, whatever you want to call this evil force in the sun, on the shortest day of the year, they are defeated. The sunset marks the end. That is when they perish into the water. And then when the sun rises again, it is rising reborn. Some kind, if you want to keep the Christian symbolism going, you could say the sun is resurrected the next day. And so the cycle continues, the season, the cycle of life, whatever you want to call it, the circle of life, the cycle of life, whatever Elton John sang about, but this circle of life continues. The sun dies in the winter, it is reborn, it slowly regains its strength until it peaks at the summer solstice, and on until the end of time, or until the stars burn out, or however which way it is that the universe is going to finish, if indeed it can or will finish. I don't know. These are very big questions that I am most definitely not qualified to even attempt to answer. But I can at least quote you some folklore, or in this case, a slightly confusing piece of mythology. If this episode wasn't confusing enough, bear with me, there's an even more confusing bit to wrap things up with. But the sun, amongst all of this, the sun, we are told, has daughters. And the good news is that these daughters can give each and every one of us some of their divine essence, and that divine essence is in us. It's in you right Now, whether you consume it, you absorb it, however you take it into yourselves, we all have this divine essence inside us, because to quote once more, the garden of the life giver contained his three daughters and three golden apples. These three daughters correspond with the three personifications of the sun on March the 25th, June the 25th, and December the 25th. The golden apples growing on a tree in the sun garden transmitted their juice to the cauldron of Ceridwen, and thus became three drops of divine essence which fertilized vegetation and entered the human system. So make of that what you will, but this divine essence has entered into our food system via the cauldron of Ceridwen, is what then supplies this divine essence to us. And I guess it's all a very roundabout way of saying that ultimately, in the end, we need the two of them. We need the light and the darkness. We need the sun and the moon. And whether or not there is good and evil fighting in the sky, whether or not the sun is one and the moon is the other and they switch back and forth, who knows? Your guess is as good as mine. And I think that's probably a good place to wrap up this episode of the Ghosts and Folklore podcast. And if you do have any thoughts on any of that, if you can make sense of any of that, as always, it's great to hear from people, and you can track me down in the usual places on social media. I'm on Twitter, I'm on Facebook, and I'm on Instagram. And if you have enjoyed this episode and you haven't already, please consider hitting the subscribe button. And if you'd like to support the podcast, you can treat me to a coffee via my website, which is always very, very much appreciated. Or if you'd like to support the podcast without spending any money, which I know is always the best way, then just leave a quick, nice review or give it a thumbs up or five stars, whatever the options are on whatever platform you are listening to this on. And maybe just spread the word. Tell your friends, share the link, shout it from the rooftops. Now, as well as a podcast, I've also written a number of books on similar weird and wonderful subjects, which are available from all good bookshops, offline and on. And as always, try and support your local bookshop if you can. If they don't stock my books, well, shame on them, but if they don't stock them, I'm sure they can order them in for you. And on that note, it just leaves me to say thank you very much for listening. Diolch and varion am rando. I've been Mark Rees. This has been my Ghosts and Folklore podcast, beaming to you from Wales to the world. And remember, the next time you look up at the crescent moon, be sure to say thank you, to offer up a quick prayer to Ceridwen to thank her for that inspiration and, of course, that magical essence she put into the ground. Because without Ceridwen, well, the fiendish black-winged creature in the sun would just burn up all us autumn-loving goths. Until next time, no star.